Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Oh, baby. Oh, there he is. He's doing the Shohei Ohtani celebration, running into home. Dodgers sweep the Braves, come back down 5-0. It's just, the Dodgers are never going to lose again, Brandon, and it's just Shohei Ohtani's world, and we're all living in it. And we're back. It's Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse, joined as always by the father of Zenaida, the prince of the South Bay. What am I calling you? I don't even know why I'm calling you that. You're the Lord Paramount. Of Torrance. Brandon Bollinger, what's up, buddy?
Jesse Rowe, my God, I was hanging on by a thread there. Wasn't sure if I was being insulted or welcomed. It is always a pleasure to be here with the relentless one himself, the crespy kid, the king of content.
I'm so crespy, yeah.
Northridge or Woodland Hills Zone, I always forget. Jizzy Rowe?
Sure.
Oh, that's a typo. Sure, that's enough. Jesse sure Rowe. Enough. My guy, how are you, brother? You look handsome. Yeah. How's your hurt elbow?
Doing great. It's actually, I'm back, baby. Like, I'm healthy, yeah. 100%. My elbow is back. Don't need surgery. Just a little sprain. Put me on the IL for a couple weeks. You know, that's it.
I'm going to call you CC Sabathia, because you are dogging it out for the company right now, dude. Let's go Brewers.
I am. Yeah, I am. I'm laying it all out there, and I guess we'll just get into it because it's been kind of a perfect start to this. I have something in my hair here. It's been a perfect start for the season so far. It looked like the Dodgers were finally going to take their first loss yesterday, and it didn't happen. They went down 5-0 early. Blake Snell got roughed up a little bit, kind of had a bad start, and it couldn't be as bad as the fucking those people that were waiting 8 hours early to get the Shohei Ohtani bobblehead. There were people that were waiting from like the crack of dawn, and then around like 2 p.m. or something, the Dodgers ended up putting out a tweet basically saying, "Don't worry, guys, like you're all gonna get one. Like everybody in the building is going to get a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead." And I appreciate that they did that, but like, why don't they do that for every bobblehead night? Why only for Shohei? It's because they knew that everybody was going to show up for Shohei, and they knew that it was, what, the resale market? Like, why did they do this?
Jesse, I saw a post the other day, and it was about the most followed MLB players on social, and it's like so-and-so at like 1.1, so-and-so at like 1.8, so-and-so at 2, so-and-so at 2.2, and then it's here is Shohei at like 9.1 million. Jesse, he represents the island nation of Japan. He is the best in the world. He is the primetime attraction. He is Showtime Shohei Ohtani. And if you need any fucking validation to these claims that I'm staking right here, look no further than my man's bobblehead night. Walks it off to left center. Technically an Oppo Daco. It was just like, it was storybook, and it looked like he flicked it out of there. It looked so effortless. This guy is so big and strong. And then what was super fun, we got a new little home run celebration based on Shohei's commercial in Japan. I'm not quite sure what it is. Maybe it's a face moisturizer. The guy has flawless skin. I can look to take a couple years off myself.
But no, it was. Obviously, I love the new celebration, but it was one of those moments where it kind of felt like it's going to happen, right? It's gonna happen because it's his bobblehead night. He's coming up, and credit to Joe Davis too on the call. Or I don't remember if it was Joe Davis or who it was, but he was like, basically, poor Andy Páez, who was up first in the ninth inning. He was basically like, you know, I'm not trying to. There's nothing against Andy Páez, but don't you kind of hope that he just gets out of there so that Shohei can get the job done on his bobblehead night? And yeah. Then what happens? Páez strikes out, and then the first pitch, Shohei hits a homer. It feels the Dodgers are just inevitable at this point, and they are. They're very, very hard to beat right now. I guess we could sort of just recap kind of how the game was played because it didn't start so well. They're actually playing some bad baseball in this game, and they still won, which is a testament to just how good they are because they, right off the bat, Blake Snell got into a little bit of a jam, and then Muncy, he got out of the jam, but Max Muncy made a throwing error to Kike Hernandez, who's not the normal first baseman. Freddie Freeman is out right now. So it was a throwing error, two runs score, and then another run scores. And then in the next inning, there's another error, and which gets runners on base. And then Andy Páez is unable to track down a fly ball. The ball actually like pops out of his mitt in center field. So that wasn't an error, but all five of the runs that were charged against Blake Snell were unearned, and you could tell it was really getting in his head because he was having trouble throwing strikes. It feels like he was kind of melting down a little bit out there. Like he started arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes when they were clearly balls. I don't know if you noticed that. Even though like he did get squeezed on a couple, he kind of started to like, I think he started to like lose his cool a little bit out there.
Yeah, you know, it's start to a young season. There's a lot of pressure to succeed, especially with, you know, all the names on the back of the jerseys. It's like we've talked about up and down the lineup. It's a veritable murderer's row. So I can appreciate the competitor in Snell just signing a big contract, coming over to the, you know, rival of everybody, the Dodgers, you know, after spending some time in San Diego and San Francisco, not to mention playing against these Dodgers in the 2020 World Series with the Rays, which he infamously was pulled out after 70 something pitches and shutting the Dodgers out. My point is to say all that is I can appreciate the frustration, right? It shows the competitor in him, but it does feel like this is the Blake Snell experience. Kind of tough early on, maybe struggles with location. When the stuff is on, it looks great. But I think his swing and miss was down this game. But Jess, it's one of those things, like, and I guess I'll ask you this, like, as excited as I am about 8-0, the best start to any season by a repeating champion, one of the best starts I think the Dodgers have ever had, I think, except maybe the, like, 1940 and the 1952 Dodgers.
Yeah, since the 50s or something, yeah, right.
Yeah, but yeah, so Jess, my point is, like, I feel like I'm the kind of fan who neither gets super high or low about early losses, at least maybe March through mid-April. I feel like my rage builds as the summer heat swelters. But Jess, how much are you buying into this team? How much are you getting worried about pitchers? And how much of you is just kind of enjoying the show? Like, what is your mix right now?
Oh, I think if anything, I am more encouraged than I could have possibly been because I didn't like the way that they played at all yesterday. I mean, this was a game that the Braves absolutely had to win. The Braves threw all of their best weapons out there against us. They, you know, they put their closer out there for what's his name? The Braves closer. God, I'm blanking on his name right now. They put him out there for to try to get five outs. He was well rested. And so, you know, like they had bad base running too. Like Michael Conforto, there was a terrible send on an Edmund single. He went from first to third with nobody out, I believe. And he was out by like a mile. Páez got nabbed at third base. Just like
Raisel Iglesias. Sorry to jump in.
Sorry. Raisel Iglesias. Thank you. Páez was cheating down the line, and he just terrible base running by Páez. I mean, he was lucky, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, he was lucky that he was even safe at third. He had such a bad slide going into third base. It's just bad fundamental baseball in this game.
You know what that is? That's a younger guy who's scared to lose his spot in center because he's not hitting right now at all.
Yeah.
Seeing a ton of pitches but not getting anything for it and trying to do too much. You know what I mean? Just trying to do too much. And I think that kind of goes back to what I was saying with Snell, right? So, like, I think these guys have a lot of pressure. There is a next man up mentality. There was a lot of praise for Muncy after he got that two-run double in Game 3.
I want to talk about that because that was a huge moment for him because he was like 2 for his last 40, like dating back to the playoffs. I mean, I don't remember, but he was like something like 1 for 20 or something, or 0 for 20, something crazy like that in the going back from like the World Series into the playoffs. And then he started off this season awful. He needed that hit so bad, especially with the two errors in this game, which basically almost cost the Dodgers the game tonight or last night. To get that two out hit to tie the game, I think was massive for him as much as it was, you know, just important for the Dodgers to win that game at all.
And that's what I think is really cool about the makeup of this Dodgers team, right? Like, obviously it starts with the three MVPs at the top, but you got this, you know, goddamn Power Rangers of fucking pitchers, you know, you think they're bad enough on their own, but they come together and form the Megazord. And it's just this Dodgers rotation now that's like, man, you mean to tell me the Dodgers played against the AL reigning AL Cy Young winner and the reigning NL Cy Young winner in back-to-back series, and even spot them a 5 spot, the NL Cy Young winner being Chris Sale, obviously, and the Dodgers come out with dubs in both of them. I mean, that's pretty surprising. I think even with as high as expectations as we have for this Dodger team, I think if you go, oh, I get a split out of one of those, like, you take it. But yeah, we've mentioned that this fight is big, and this is a...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
A big dog, right? So to see early on this lack of any type of championship hangover is kind of scary for the rest of the league. But
it is because they don't
say in Week 2, right? But you know,
no, but you're right. And I sorry, I'm gonna let you talk, but I think that's like your best point so far, is that they didn't give up in a game that they played bad, that they could have easily just conceded. They were 7-0. They could have easily just conceded this game. They didn't want to. They played hard. They went for it. And, you know, it just shows that they have so many different ways to fucking beat you on any given night that, it should be very encouraging if you're a Dodger fan to look at where they are right now. It's a little frustrating that the Dodgers are 8-0 and they're only a half game up in the division, but I imagine it's much more frustrating for the Padres, who are 7-0, and they're like, wait a second, we're in second place? Like, what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're undefeated and we're still trailing these guys.
I heard somebody make a funny little joke. It was like, Dodgers, dude, 8-0, but fucking leave it to little brother just to stick around at 7-0. Hey, don't forget about me, fucker. Honestly, yeah. I've been saying it the entirety of the time we're on this podcast. I love what they're doing in San Diego. I think it's great for baseball. And for all the shit we talked about, you know, the lack of movement this offseason, it seems like getting Nick Pivetta was all they needed, baby. But, sometimes it's addition by subtraction, Jesse Rowe.
Yeah, I know.
Atlanta Braves, who are just in the midst of a dog shit 0-7 start. No team that's ever gone 0-7 has made the playoffs, which I guess works out just fine. Because Jurickson Profario, I'm just kidding, Jurickson Profar, the PED user, is suspended for 80 games and can't even play in the playoffs now if these Braves play to the expectations that we had all offseason. Jesse, what is your level of panic, fear, what have you for these Atlanta Braves, who I believe we both picked to win the NL East?
No, we both picked the Phillies.
That sounds like us.
We have the Braves making the on the wild card though. Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned because what I was saying is like they have to basically be a 500 team until they get Strider back and until they get Acuna back. And that's looking like it's going to be very fucking hard to do. I mean, you mentioned Nick Pivetta on the Padres. I don't even know yet if Nick Pivetta was a great signing for the Padres because the Braves just were not scoring. They're not scoring runs right now. They scored 5 runs yesterday because the Dodgers made like 2 errors that led to runs. They were all unearned. Like they literally didn't score any runs without the help of the Dodgers defense.
In that series,
they got shut out twice by the Padres, and then 2 games against the Dodgers, they only scored 1 run. So that's 4 games already out of the first 7 where they've scored 1 run or less. So it's like, I don't even know how to judge the Nick Pivetta signing yet. Like, it's bad in Atlanta right now, and I think they're going to right the ship, but I'm not convinced that it's going to be enough to overcome the Mets. I don't know if Strider and Acuna is enough to like say, this team is good. Because they also lost Reynaldo Lopez. He's getting shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
And Profar, you're the one free agent signing that you guys made, that the Braves made, is now out for 80 games, and he can't even play in the fucking playoffs. Like, that is just devastating for them. I don't know how they're going to overcome it. I know everybody's like saying, oh, they're a World Series team. They're going to figure it out. Like, I don't think it's that simple. You know, I genuinely don't think it's that simple. Literally, nobody has ever started 0-7 and made the playoffs.
It's crazy. Oh. And I swear to God, I feel like if there's any team that can do it, I still remember the 21 Braves coming back from, you know, a dog shit first half, going just white hot and then just sizzling their way through the playoffs. I remember it was like, oh, the Dodgers are going to go back to back in 21 and then just, you know, met that buzzsaw. But yeah, it does feel like that there is some missing firepower from the Braves that we're used to seeing outside of just the injuries, but just it kind of feels like some guys aren't really playing up to their capabilities. You know, Ozzy wasn't really hitting, Olsen, Riley, really only old Ozuna from the Braves was hitting.
Yeah, well, I mean, Glasnow cut through them like butter. I mean,
talk about Glasnow for a minute.
He was dude. 5 innings, 8 Ks. I mean, he looks like he's picking up right where he left off, that he's like, if this guy stays healthy, like I've always said, if he just pitches a full healthy season, he will win the Cy Young that season. That's all that needs to happen. He just needs to pitch a full season and he wins the Cy Young. He looks awesome. And his like all of his metrics were really good. He's hitting 96, 97. Just even Dustin May just looks fucking amazing. And he's only throwing 94, 95. But him and Glasnow are similar because they have such long extension. They're both so tall and they have such long downward path to the plate that it looks like it's coming at you like 105.
There's something beautiful about it, dude. Like, I'm not going to call it Swan Lake, but there is an art to pitching, and with flowing hair, the, you know, all that downward motion, it's very fluid. It gives me like tidal waves vibes. You know, I think we all get very beachy surfery bro vibes from Glasnow, but an absolute gorgeous specimen. But Jess, I got a little breaking news here. The Dodgers are placing Freddie Freeman with a right ankle sprain on the 10-day DL, retro to March 31st.
Wow. Yeah.
Does this do anything to make you a little more worried for this upcoming series with the Phillies, or are you more worried about Freddie?
It doesn't make me worried. It makes me worried only because the way that the Dodgers revealed the news was interesting. They said that Freddie slipped in the shower, that he had an accident like slipping in the shower, which was a little weird because we knew that Freddie was already kind of dealing with some ankle stuff. So, you know, you just hope that it's not anything too serious, that it's not something that's going to nag at him. Because I know that postseason, he was dealing with some ankle stuff. That was what was keeping him out of games. So you hope that it's not something that's going to, nag at him. But, I mean, Dodgers are 8-0. If they've been winning without Freddie, just just put him, get him right. Do whatever you can to get him right. That's fine. It sucks. I mean, there's only one team in baseball that can afford to lose a superstar, and it's the Dodgers. So they'll, I think they'll be okay.
And I mean, Jess, to your point, literally to your point, man, we haven't even talked about Tommy Edmond, who's slugging homers, playing just gold glove caliber defense up the middle. It doesn't matter if it's fucking left side, right side of second base. It's pretty crazy how much ground he's covering. Michael Conforto hit his first Dodger home run. He's had some awesome ABs.
He had a perfect night at the plate last night. And he reached all four times. Yeah, I think he reached all four times. And then he actually got the base hit that led to the Muncy double. So
love that.
Yeah. No, everything is clicking. And I think that, you know, just knowing where they're at and where they can be is what gets you so excited, because you're like, you start to think about, can this team win 120 games? Can this team win 110 games? But it's going to be stuff like Freddie. Like, we have to avoid long-term injuries. And I think as long as we can minimize those, this Dodger team is going to be virtually impossible to stop.
Dude, I'm just looking at the Dodgers leaders in OPS right now. You got Tommy Edman at third with a 980 OPS, Shohei with a 1.1, and Will Smith with a 1.257 OPS. And it's just like, you know, we can go off about everybody. We really can. But just this team is so deep. Like, we're talking about offense, and it's like, man, we're losing like Freddie for 10 games. And it's like, but I got Mookie, I got Shohei, I got Teoscar, I got Muncy coming back to life. Will Smith's on fire. Good luck if you fucking got a pitch to Tommy Edman with somebody on base.
Right. No, that's
Porto. Even Páez, who's not hitting, is seeing a ton of pitches, you know?
Yeah, but dude, like, you just mentioned it. The Dodgers, they have Shohei Ohtani, they have Freddie Freeman, they have Mookie Betts, they have Teoscar Hernandez, they have all these guys. And who's leading them in home runs? It's Tommy fucking Edman.
It's crazy.
So
I didn't have that on my bingo card, but I think I always knew it in my heart that it was possible, man.
Yeah. No, they look great. They go on to face the Phillies next. Yamamoto pitches tomorrow. So that'll be a good little barometer series for the Dodgers, sort of see where they're at. Yes. It'd be a Jesus Luzardo, Aaron Nola.
Just before we move on to the Phillies, I just want to ask you one last question before we move completely off the Braves. Jurickson Profar, over a decade.
I was going to talk about him after. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask you it was my last thing. Over a decade in the league, former top prospect, you know, one of the best stories of 2024, all-star, signs for $1 million, bets on himself, signs his deal with the Braves, and now is popped. What does this do to his legacy? And, like, you know, we saw him get a standing ovation in San Diego. Do you think he gets booed?
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
The next time he's in San Diego.
I think he's more likely to get booed in Atlanta than he is to get booed in San Diego. I mean, this was, you know, I was watching Chris Rose talk about the Profar contract that he signed. And it's interesting, the structure of it, because it's for something like $43 million, but it's 12 years in the first year, and then it's 15 and 15 in the second and third year, and then he has to forfeit half of his salary this year because of the 80 game suspension. So he's losing $6 million. So that contract is now a $37 million contract, right? And Chris Rose was putting out the theory that maybe he knew there was a chance he was going to get popped, and so he had his agent negotiate that they shaved a little bit off the AAV in the first year, knowing that he would have have to take a 50% pay cut when he got the suspension. The only caveat to that is that supposedly he passed like 13 drug tests last year or something, that he did, you know, pass all of his urine tests and blood sample tests. However, if you're good at, you know, if you're good at running the cycles of taking steroids, then you can, there are ways to get around those tests. So that, which is what HCG is used for, which is what he tested positive for. It's, you use it at the end of a steroid cycle to help sort of reboost your testosterone, because essentially what it does is it prevents your balls from shrinking. It prevents your, like, it prevents your sperm count from dropping, your testosterone from dropping, and from you having little, you know, blueberry nuts. Yeah. It's basically what it is. It helps you sort of like just regenerate that stuff. And to me, that's more indicative of a steroid user than somebody who's like, oh, I didn't know what I put in my body, which is what fucking Profar tried to sell us on, which is just the most tired excuse in the world.
Well, dude, he's running the Fernando Tatis Jr. defense. It's exactly what he said after the ringworm cream bullshit. But it was, you know, hey, who is he working with? He was working with his pops, Fernando Tatis. Mm-hmm. I mean, so now where there's smoke, there's fire, right? Fucking two guys get popped, working out. You know, come on, man.
Well, also, he was the worst player in baseball in Colorado, and then he was terrible the year before that. The Padres go and get him, and all of a sudden he has a career season.
The Rockies,
and then
he cut him. The
Rockies cut him, of all teams. That's how bad you were. And then he goes out and balls out for the Padres. And I'm sorry, but, like, kind of has the fucking behavioral attributes of somebody who has roid rage. Just going to say, like,
it all kind of makes sense now, right?
Yeah.
Like, all year fighting, talking shit. And you know what, dude? I'll say final nail for me, dude, is I guess Will Smith was right, dude. He is Mr. fucking irrelevant, because without steroids, dude, he would have been out of the league in 2024. He would have never even been there. It would have been another guy they would have brought up from San Diego. Who knows, dude? Fucking maybe there was another Jackson Merrill waiting for his break last year that fucking...
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. That's what pisses me off. You know, there are guys out there that are working for their opportunities, that are doing it the right way. And guys like Profar, who were terrible, who were on the verge of, like, potentially not getting a job in Major League Baseball, have to cheat in order to get a job, you know, and then screw over the Braves. Braves fans didn't deserve this shit. You know, they're one big free agent signing. Now he's just gone for half the year. Can't even help them in the playoffs. Jerkson Profar's a fucking dork. Anyways.
Dude. Braves fans, sincerely, sucks, dude. Hang in there. There'll be brighter days ahead.
But, you know, it's funny because the Dodgers 7-0, Padres 8-0, Padres 7-0, Giants 5-1. Little fun little tidbit here. Everybody in the AL Central at time of recording is 2-4.
Jesus Christ.
So that just goes to show how competitive that division is. Speaking of Jackson Merrill, he just said there were a few extensions. We're going to have to rush through these last few because I know we're a little short on time today, but there were some extensions signed yesterday that are very interesting. Jackson Merrill got locked up for 9 years, $136 million by the Padres, so he's going to be there for the long haul. I mean, in my opinion, amazing contract for the Padres. I feel like Jackson Merrill might have left a lot of money on the table if he were to wait a few years. What are your thoughts?
I definitely feel like he left money on the table, but, dude, San Diego is a really beautiful place. You're 21. You get offered that kind of fucking bread. You know what I mean?
I guess he could re-sign at 30. Yeah.
Right. I think it averages out to something like $15 million a year, which is so team-friendly for a guy of that caliber. Mm-hmm. I definitely think he's a guy that can get, like, you know, MVP votes. I don't know if he's an MVP, but he's a great talent and a cornerstone of your outfield for years to come, especially with Nando out there. Yeah, dude, Merrill's fantastic. I thought he might edge out Paul Skenes for Rookie of the Year last year. I did see Padres fans embarrass themselves and put, like, Merrill Mania. This is the home of Jackson Merrill, the rightful king or the Rookie of the Year. I was going to say, like, King of the Andals and just go all into it. But
Oh, yeah. They put up a sign that says, home of the rightful Rookie of the Year. That's right. Yeah, that's
a little goofy, but...
Well, you know, they also put up their, NL Wild Card banner, by the way.
Dude, I got like secondhand cringe just like for them. For and look, I'm not knocking any trip to the postseason in any capacity should be like respected. But what are we doing?
Yeah.
Man, dude, that's a participation trophy, dude. That's what are we doing, dude?
It is. It's a literal participation trophy.
What are we doing?
Like, he also had some comments about.
Like, if you want to not be called little brother, you can't do little brother shit like that. And, like, I'm not even somebody who buys into that because I don't think it's – I don't know. But
it was like the Clippers. The Clippers social media person put out a tweet. The L.A. Clippers, who is, you know, little brother to the L.A. Lakers, put out a tweet wishing the San Diego Padres good luck this season. And it's like, dude, you are an L.A. basketball team wishing a San Diego baseball team good luck when you have two teams that go by Los Angeles in their name, which says to me, Brandon, that was a much bigger shot at the Angels than it was at the Dodgers.
100%. Dude, the disrespect is crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, I honestly think that whoever was working on the Clippers social media, it was a Dodgers fan, and that was like a shot at the Padres, just being like little brother, like, hey, dude, we're fucking LA's little brother.
Oh, wow.
3D you think check. It's
like, there's like layers. It was like Inception. There were layers to that.
And fucking, you know, the Angels were just a victim in the drive-by that was the massacre.
Yeah. Jackson Merrill also had some interesting comments about Juan Soto. He had some comments about contracts in baseball. His quote when talking about signing his contract extension, he had a quote where he said, I know there are contracts out there that are beyond absurd, but having a relationship with a real human being and a real team like I have here, you can't beat that. You know, you can't just sign for $700 million and want everything to be perfect. Now, people were saying this was a shot at Soto. However, he said $700 million, which was Otani's price tag. So I don't know. What are your thoughts? Do you think it was a shot at Soto?
I guess. I don't recall if Merrill and Soto played together.
No, Merrill came in the year after Soto was traded.
Yeah, but maybe
He might have been there for like a little, like a cup of coffee. He might have been there. I'll look it up.
Yeah, maybe they had a little beef. Maybe he didn't like the way he carried himself. And, you know, Merrill hasn't been shy about saying how he feels. That's one of the reasons why I kind of like him, right? He's a young guy, but does have personality and plays with confidence.
He did not play with Soto.
Yeah. So I don't know that it is a shot at Soto, but I think it's maybe more of just like a shot at like what he sees are decisions in the game made solely on monetary value. And maybe he's a guy that's like, hey, I always decided that if I could make $1 million, $5 million, $10 million, whatever his number was, I feel like he got to it and was like, I'm happy. I could do a decade here. Sign me up. And good for him, dude. I'm sure he's going to buy a sick-ass pad out in fucking Pacific Beach and hit some dingers off the porch at some honeys, dude.
I mean, goddamn, man. Being a Major League Baseball player when you're 21 years old, living in San Diego, you got $100 million coming your way. I mean, that's a pretty – you know, I can understand being like – I kind of just want to get my money and not worry about this too much. And plus, he's going to be 30 by the time, or 31 by the time he can sign a new contract. He'll just sign like a 5-year, you know, $130 million deal. And he'll be fucking, you know, it'll all work out. So good for him. Good for you.
Good for you.
Stop saying stupid
stuff.
A
couple other guys signed some extensiones for some pretty tasty amounts of green, Jess.
There's one that's a really weird one, in my opinion, but go ahead.
What was that one?
The Christian Campbell one. Very, very weird deal. Mm. I mean, 8 years, $60 million. Mm. And I know he's very young, obviously, but he's like a rookie. He's their top prospect. I mean, this is literally like, if you are any good, I mean, this says to me that you don't believe that you could become a superstar. Because you're basically just accepting, like, Chris Taylor makes more money than this. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I like annually, I'm a little perplexed by this one. I mean, it's an absolute steal for the Red Sox. who also signed Garrett Crochet they extended him. So they managed to trade for Garrett Crochet. They signed him for 6 years, $170 million. So they look like they're in pretty damn good shape. Which one of those deals do you like more, by the way?
I guess Crochet, just because we've seen it for a few years from now. However, you know, the innings pitched has remained low. So we'll see what that means for his arm health. And
pitched 8 innings of shutout ball yesterday against the Orioles, by the way.
Pretty
might have been one, might have been one run, either one run or scoreless. But he's
absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
But at this price,
he's my Cy Young pick.
This young controllable talent, it's hard to sneeze at. You know what I mean? It's a great deal. Boston's looking good. I know they're not off to the barn burning start that some of us might have thought they were going to get out to, but they've looked pretty good.
No, but they won the series against the Orioles. They won yesterday and they won today. And Rafael Devers finally had a couple of hits. So he's off the schneid. So.
Your boy Ketel Marte out in the desert signed a 6-year, $116 million extension. He was signed through 2027 with a team option in 2028. I feel like this is just like, I don't know. I think Diamondbacks ownership and Torrey Lovello really feel like they got something here, and they're trying to lock down their one of their stars for the remainder of his prime, you know, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks didn't have to do this one. Like you said, they had him through 2027 with a team option for 2028, which is basically you have him for the next 3 years under control. They didn't have, good for Ketel Marte, dude. Like, it feels kind of like he got away with one here, or whoever his agent is deserves a higher percentage of this contract.
Yeah.
Because there's the Diamondbacks had all the leverage and they just gave it away and extended him. Basically, it seems to me like Ketel Marte just didn't want to go into free agency at like 34, 35 years old. Yeah. But that's not something that the Diamondbacks had to help him out with. I don't know. Just maybe that says to me that they just really like him and that they want him there as a Diamondback for life. They want him to be a staple, a lifer with the D-backs. And I think it's awesome, you know, because they have a really good, fun team. And they, by the way, we're talking about the Padres and the Giants. The D-backs look damn good too. They just beat the Yankees a couple of times as well. So they look good as well.
Yeah, dude, I'm all for my guys getting their breaded up. I'm just a little jealous, dude. I want to get a 6-year, $170 million contract, dude.
It's a little hard talking about all this money that they make.
Dude, speaking of money being made, I believe a certain baseball team left a city because they weren't making enough money. That's right, Jess. The formerly Oakland A's, currently John Fisher's Triple A's, had a little bit of a letdown in their opening weekend homestead, and it wasn't getting blown out in game one, or was it game two? I don't know. Your boy Kyle Tucker's just been hitting ding-dongs every game, so it's hard to keep up. But the Athletics attendance dropped below 10,000 during their first homestead, Jess. So the capacity of Sutter Health Park, sorry, out in West Sacramento, is around 14,000. This is, I believe, game one they were sold out, but game two drew 10,095 fans, and game three only drew 9,300. For the weekend, that's an average of 11,386. Not great. Almost feels like, and you know, feel free to check me on this, but like if you move a team that's professional to a minor league field, it doesn't translate so well. And maybe people aren't that excited about this product. And maybe, just maybe the owner has spurned an entire fan base, so the only people coming to the games are fans of rival teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, we've talked a lot about this team. It's not good. And, you know, the optics of it, I mean, I was watching some highlights of a game, and a home run was hit to center field, and there is this shed out there beyond the wall in center field, and it looks like a storage shed of some kind. And apparently they tried to mask it with like some tarp and some like signage, and apparently it's like where some of the media is working out of.
Yeah, their media pen or whatever.
So I don't know if they're gonna be air conditioning that or what, how they're getting any like circulation in there, but that just seems so not show. It seems so low budget, I guess is the way I would put it. Just not good optics. And the fact that they started out 2-2 when we did our last episode and they lost 3 in a row. And so now your AL West champion pick is now 2-5, is not good. It's not a good look, Brando. Sorry, bud.
It's pretty tough, man. I don't know. It's tough not to feel a little bit of Schadenfreude. That's German, I believe, for the feeling of taking joy in somebody else's misfortune.
Correct.
But John Fisher's just an ass, and like, I don't know. It's crazy just to see the numbers reflect that, and like the lack of like real enthusiasm. I know that they were doing like ticket bundles before the opening day and trying to just move seats, and it's like, dude, you don't have the name of the city that you're playing in on your jersey anywhere. Like, there's no even attempt to try and connect with your community. And Sacramento is a cool town, dude. It's a good sports town. They support the king. But, like, dude, what are you doing? It's like, embarrassing for the sport. And, like, I feel bad for these players that are trying to go out there and compete at the highest level. And you got to jog out through left field if you got to go take a piss to get to the clubhouse. Like, dude, it's just, you know, there was a lot of talk about fucking torpedo bats potentially being Bush League. But, like, dude, playing in a minor league park as a big leaguer is Bush League. Like, literally. Yeah.
No. And, I mean, like, the Rays, I know that they're having, because they're playing at the Yankees minor league complex out there in Florida. But, I mean, that is not a self-inflicted situation. That was because of a hurricane.
Exactly.
The A's are a self-inflicted situation of why they are there. And you mentioned the word Schadenfreude, and it made me, I have a question for you.
Hit me.
About taking pleasure in the pain and misery of others. How much money would you spend to watch John Fisher get pegged?
Dude. Oh man. Who's on the hill?
No, I'm like talking about like actually pegged.
Oh wow. By like a lady wearing a.
Right. Yeah.
Man, yeah. I don't think I would pay much.
Poor guy. You know, I'm not. Hey, I don't judge. You know, whatever. Like, I'm not being picky here.
Just writing down the moment that we went a little too far.
I'm glad. This is the end of the episode.
Oh here we go. Man, no, all but right. Jess, I don't know. Our friend Ryan Brazier, World Series champion, former Dodger and Red Sox, but. Basically called the park bullshit, said that this is ridiculous. He'd rather be in Oakland. There was a bunch of chants, you know, of sell the team. I mean, dude, I don't get how MLB lets this go this far. It's shitty. Shame on all the owners involved in allowing this. Shame on Rob Manfred. And obviously, dude, like, shame on you, John Fisher. Do right by the people. And just one last thing before we move on from the A's. They were supposed to break ground on that stadium in April of 2025, and it is now April 2nd, and there hasn't been a fucking – April 3rd, there hasn't been a shovel in the ground. So who knows? They might be moving back to Oakland someday. I don't fucking know. Just putting it out there.
I mean, it's already an insult, the fact that if they actually make the playoffs, they're going to have to go back and play them in Oakland. So
right,
that's damning enough as it is. But I'm going to go out on a limb. My hot take in this episode, I don't think they're going to get that deal in Vegas done, dude.
Dude, I think so. I like that.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that one. But we'll see. It remains to be seen. Either way, This was a fun one. We're going to end it here because last time we went like an hour and 15 minutes.
Whoops.
We're back into our 40, 45 minute range. So I like it. But yeah.
Yes. You know what we didn't do this episode? We didn't ask anybody to like and subscribe.
Oh, shit.
Share with your friends. Leave us a comment. If you made it this far, we got to be doing something right for you. So if you're already subscribed, tell somebody that isn't. But everybody, thank you so much for joining us here at Deferred Collusion. Jesse, what you got, Papa?
Dodgers are going into Philadelphia. Yamamoto on the mound tomorrow against Jesus Luzardo. So tune in. Big barometer series for the Dodgers. See where they're at. And make sure that when you're done with this episode, go ask your friends, how much money would you pay to watch John Fisher get pegged?
That's what we all got to know. You know, we're thinking about calling it billionaire bing boings.
Yep.
I don't know. It's and we're out of here, Jess. Let's go.
Peace.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Four seasons, greetings.